Greetings and welcome to another Fireside Chat. This is your host, Zany Mystic. My guest today is Dane Alexander. I'm really excited to have Dane with us today. He has been a president and CEO of an international investment business for over 24 years and has been a financial columnist for Millionaire Magazine. Along with his business background, he trained in a number of esoteric subjects, providing a rare understanding of the dangerous political and climatic course upon which our planet is proceeding. His experiences prompted the writing of an astounding new book simply called Maya. It's my great pleasure to welcome the author, Dane Alexander. Welcome, Dane.
Hi, Lance.
Hi. Finally, that was a mouthful, and I've just barely scratched the surface of your accomplishments, so we're just going to find out a little bit more about this book. I just read it, and I honestly say that it's a landmark metaphysical page-turner.
What do you mean by landmark?
I have not seen anything that contains so much profound information and so much depth on the market to date.
You know, it's strange that you say that because it is written on four different levels. Normally, when you have a single book, like Stephen King tries to scare you,
right?
John Grisham talks about murder in the courtroom. This has four levels, and most people are simply going to see it as a Raiders of the Lost Ark, Star Wars, simplistic story, not realizing most of the stories in there are true, and it's crammed full of facts. But the real aspect is a deep, complex code. You know, you talk about the Da Vinci Code, which is a historical, interesting aspect. This is a real code for people to solve.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real test of your spiritual level.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about the plot of the book so that people can have some idea of what we're talking about.
Well, the plot really evolves. It takes... I'm stumbling for words because...
It's not really the plot that reveals the true nature of the book.
Well, okay, the essence of the book is whether you know this or not. Now do you believe anything is done by accident?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. If you believe that, then the people listening, either right now or that are going to archive this, are extremely special people.
Mm-hmm.
7 billion people on this planet, and there is a handful that are going to actually change the destiny of the world.
Mm-hmm.
By that, as I mean, I had burning bush experiences that have revealed to me the true political aspects. And there are a lot of political books out there, and the true climate aspects. But mankind, we don't want to hear this, has approximately 10 years, 6 to 12, but 10 is a pretty good number, where there'll almost be total annihilation of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the way it is. I'm sorry, but that's it. However, that is all going to be reversed by a very small handful of people using this ancient concept that are going to change the course of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a person believes that they were born for something special, and they don't know what it is, some mission to fulfill, that may be it may not be, but the book will tell you how to access what your mission is, and there are a number of you people, and why you people, other than the other 7 billion on the planet, it takes a very special, advanced person spiritually who thinks outside of the box to unlock this code. Most people won't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Most people cannot. So what it is, it's the Raiders of the Lost Ark story, and it's a Star Wars story based on an ancient cave that shows man has been here millions and millions of years. So it disrupts the accepted timeline of the Bible, the Talmud, the Quran. It's quite a mystery within a mystery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it gets into some real actual action adventures that I personally experienced myself.
Mm. Amazing. Some of those tunnel scenes being chased by I don't want to call it a monster, but let's just say it was something very evil. It was just mesmerizing. It certainly rivals anything that the Raiders of the Lost Ark has provided.
Like Paul Harvey, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. I'm going to give the people listening to this show some information not in the book.
Oh, good.
there is an ancient tunnel system underneath the earth, and it's been expanded upon by our military and also by aliens. Whether you want to believe that or not, the book gets into actual factual aspects that you can find yourself. However, let me tell you two different things. I have a friend who was very high up in the MI, which is like the military intelligence, the equivalent of the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
His best friend has actually been in one of these tunnels in an underground city.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is going to happen is many of the people in the political world right now, not just in America, but around the world, are thinking that there's going to be this annihilation. They're going to go down into these tunnels. Now, let me tell you something that just happened a couple years ago. I have some friends very close, have been known them for like 25, 26 years. And I was down at their home a little south of Phoenix. I won't reveal where it is.
Yeah.
And they said to me, you know, something really strange is happening. And I said, what? And they said, well, there's this little shack about a quarter of a mile from our house, just a small shack.
Uh-huh.
And there's an armed guard there 24/7, always dressed in civilian clothes. Oh. Not the same person, but he's there day in and day out. And I said, okay. And they said, well, what's strange is there's nothing around. They're building a little something there, but it's just a shack. But every day, 10 to 15 cars will pull up. Now, they go by this to their home every day, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, 10, 12 people will go in. And he said, dang, this shack is so small. It will only hold if people were standing up. Maybe 10. He said they will go in there all day long and disappear.
Huh.
They'll never come out. And I said, okay, that sounds a little unusual. Later on, they said, now this person is extremely, one of the two, is extremely vibrationally sensitive. I mean, when the Northridge earthquake happened over in California, they knew it 3 days in advance over here. This, in fact, it's a very famous person. I won't use names.
Yeah.
And they said, I felt a vibration of people tunneling. And I said, and her husband said, oh, you know, you're crazy. And he said, no, I feel people tunneling. Then people were going around the neighborhood with these big dump trucks full of dirt, just knocking on doors saying, would you like to have some fresh dirt? And they had 5 acres, so they said, yeah, dump a lot out there. But then, okay. The following year, something stranger happened. This she was coming home this one night, and it was raining. And they built this little, I won't tell you what type of little thing around it is, but it's still the shack plus this thing. And the security guard, 24/7. And she's driving along, and all of a sudden, the road is caved in.
Hmm.
Now, normally when the road is caved in, you'll find the electrical company out there and flashing lights and maybe a police officer or two kind of, you know, herding traffic around. She said, no, 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 no. She said it was armed military only.
Hmm.
Guns drawn, leveled at everybody that would come by.
Oh, boy.
And she drove right up. And this is a PhD in psychology, and nobody's fool. She's heavy duty, but really sweet. And they said, you can't go, lady. And she said, I live just right down the block. And he said, I'm sorry, lady, you can't go. And she said, look. And she looked down, and she could see this huge tunnel had caved in because of the water.
Huh.
It does rain in Arizona occasionally. And she said, 50, 75 feet below, she could see trucks moving back and forth down there in some type of road with their lights on.
Wow.
She told the security guard, the military person, she said, look, I know about the tunnel complex. I know it extends from here to Tucson. And he said, look, lady, you're not supposed to know that. And she said, I won't tell a soul. Let me go home. And so they chatted for a few minutes. He let her go on.
Hmm.
But these tunnel complexes, oh, let me ask you this, Lance.
Hmm.
Do you remember about 18, 17 years ago when you'd be driving along the freeway and you'd see these military convoys with I'm talking missiles on the back of them, tanks, all that sort of thing?
I do remember that.
You haven't seen them for a long time, have you?
No, they haven't been around.
Oh, yes, they have.
Oh.
They're being moved in these internal tunnels.
Huh.
But more than that, the internal tunnels are a place where the elite are trying to escape when all sorts of calamities that are very orchestrated are going to be happening, and rather shortly, unfortunately.
Can you elaborate?
So that's the tunnel story.
No, can you, well, not only that, but you mentioned the tunnel that Cheney was building, and that's fairly recent news. That was just the neighbors were going crazy because he had panels and screens up, and there was blasting, and, you know, I thought, clearly they're building a tunnel from Cheney's house to somewhere.
Well, here again, the book has, it's totally loaded with fact for people to do their research and their homework.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little fiction in there. It had to be only because I didn't want to be sued. and thrown in prison without having benefit of a lawyer forever and not even being charged.
Right.
But at this point in time, yes, there were explosions for about a year and a half below the Cheney home, and trucks coming and going and everything else. And the neighbors tried to report this, but the news wouldn't report it.
No, no.
And I find it very interesting that Vice President Cheney disappears sometimes for months on end. We don't know where he is.
Hmm.
That's another story. No, I don't get into that.
Hmm. What do you think some of these catastrophes are that they're aware of and that they may also be helping to create?
Well, there are a whole series of catastrophes. They're man-made and they're natural. On the natural aspect, and the book gets into it very specifically, it shows you how there will be an ice age covering roughly two-thirds of the planet in possibly 6 years, more likely 10.
Mm-hmm.
Although that can be stopped, it can be totally reversed, like global warming can be stopped dead in its tracks, and it will be.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point in time, you have that. You have the melting of the ice flows, which is going to raise the water level around the world. You know, and there are different figures by different scientists. Some say 20 feet, some say 40 feet, but whatever. You have millions of people around the shorelines of the world. You have global warming.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ozone layer down in, you know, the Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some are saying the ozone layer is being healed. No, it's not going to be healed ever, but they say now until 2065, but it's not going to be. So much so is it high radiation coming through there.
Mm-hmm.
That, and this is all quoted in the book. It says that in the children of Australia, it's against the law to send them to school without wearing a long-sleeve shirt and a hat for fear of cancer.
Wow.
So this is just part of the tremendous amount of and there are others, you know, world famine, water shortages, and all of that. Now, if you go on the other side of what's being created,
mm-hmm.
you have HAARP, you know, the high-altitude secret project up in Alaska, which is not so secret. In fact, about five or six other countries have one, and it manipulates the weather.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting, if you take a look at Katrina, hurricanes follow sometimes an arc path or sometimes somewhat of a straight path. They never zigzag. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll go back and look at the records, Katrina zigzagged.
Mm.
It was if somebody was aiming it, and then somebody else tried to push it on, off, and somebody pushed it back and forth, and so that zigzagged. But you also have the bird flu.
Oh, yes, okay. Tell us about that.
Well, let's just do it. Here is something. Now, there are about 6.5-7 billion people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
How many people in the United States died last year just of flu, influenza?
I'm not sure.
Well, roughly 20,000.
Okay.
Now, measure the population of the United States, roughly 300 million, to 20,000 dying. In the world, you have nearly 7 billion in population, and only roughly 200 died so far of the bird flu. And yet there's this huge scare about bird flu.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why is there being this push? Well, certainly the $10 billion of the inoculant.
It's Tamiflu.
Pardon?
There was an inoculant that has done incredibly well in sales, and isn't that part of one of our leaders' companies?
Right. That's absolutely correct. But there's a lot more behind this bird flu that I can really get into on the air.
That you can't get into.
Well, no, I can't.
Okay.
Only because of the law that's just been passed in the Senate.
Mm.
So the whole thing of what really can be said about what is happening behind the scenes has to be somewhat modified.
Mm-hmm.
If the people read the book and decide for the code, they can draw their own conclusions, and they're very, very clear.
Mm-hmm. Would you say the chemtrails have anything to do with the global situation?
That
are being sprayed all over the globe on a daily basis.
You bet.
Okay.
What has happened, it is an absolute fact that the CIA used certain experiments in downtown Manhattan to find out how resistant people were to a series of strains of flus.
Mm-hmm.
But the chemtrails are something else. Now, what would happen if you did kind of a bird flu virus that way?
Yes.
I know a couple years ago, the hospitals in Phoenix were so overcrowded, there were no rooms, and they were turning patients away, and three out of four people that were coming in were dying.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this huge contrail problem over Phoenix at that time.
And I believe that the Black Plague has been reintroduced to, you know, certain, that people are actually dying of the Black Plague, some of the Indians, I believe.
Well, you know, we think the Black Plague has died out in the Middle Ages, but mm-hmm. it's been alive and well up on the Navajo Reservation,
mm-hmm.
And this is quite of a hushed secret, but is it being... There are all sorts of viruses out there that have been manipulated, and, you know, a couple of years ago, there were these 5,000 batches of this deadly virus that were supposedly lost. They were shipped out by accident.
Yes, I remember that.
Well, there's so much of this going on. What you have here is the book deals in... Do you remember the early Star Trek on TV where they played chess, but it was chess on a multi-level? In other words, a chessboard, and above
yes.
that a chessboard, and so on and so forth?
Yes, I love that part.
Well, okay, what you have here is an explanation, probably the first time, which is each chess layer does not know the layer above them.
Mm-hmm.
They think they're the only ones running the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about, yes, this layer is running it and that layer is running it. And then it goes to a couple higher layers that no one that I'm aware of
mm-hmm.
in the literary world and the political world have ever even talked about, let alone, you know, made public.
What is your feeling on who is behind the layers? Can you speak about who's behind the curtain?
Well, it depends upon what chessboard you're standing on, Lance.
Yeah, okay.
You know, right now we have a president who feels he's in total control.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Karl Rove, who perhaps, according to many, is controlling the president.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
who's controlling Karl Rove? And it goes into layer above layer above layer of that.
I know that there are some theories that I've seen bouncing around that there are actually reptilians that are... pulling some of the strings, and that there are aliens in the underground bases, you know, working on secret projects with the government.
Well,
and of course, there's no way that we can verify that.
Well, if you go back and read the epilogue, it talks about aspects of the story there are far more truthful aspects in the story than I can reveal,
mm-hmm.
and I'm simply the postman.
But
when you talk in terms of aliens, you know, I've had numerous close encounters of the fifth kind.
Mm.
And when I talk in terms of reptilians in the book, this is based upon been there, done that, and bought the T-shirt.
Mm, okay.
So it's not a matter of... What happened was, and it's kind of interesting... When I kind of got into this, I thought by accident, but it wasn't, all these little adventures started happening.
Huh.
And they happened because I apparently was supposed to write this thing and put the adventures in the book, and when the reader reads it, they actually see through my eyes and see through what is really happening. I've had many people say, Dane, I'm mad at you. And I say, well, that figures. And I say, why? And they say, well, it woke me up at 3 a.m, and I couldn't put it down until I finished at 7.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that one.
Because the tension is there, but it's based upon reality.
Yes, yeah.
And that's the scary part. And yet, the whole book is a book of hope.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you have, and everybody listening happens to have a divine inheritance that you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
This gives you that key to unlock it.
Hmm.
And it tells you, let me give an example. Just for this period of time, just for this interview, everybody should put aside, just to the side, don't throw it away, but put to the side all the beliefs, all the concepts, all the dogma that they've ever gotten. For instance, mm-hmm. you believe in gravity. You believe that you have to have oxygen to live. You believe someday you're going to die or ascend, whichever, and on and on and on. I'm not saying take those away, no, but I'm saying put them aside and suspend them, because what this book deals with, it tells you who and what you really are and how to access aspects of divinity that you don't have any concept of. Right now, when you measure something, it's by inches, feet, yards, day, night, seasons, okay. This gives you a whole new ruler, a whole new way of measuring, so you no longer are going to be constrained by time and space. Now, I know this sounds really hard, and I'm saying do not believe me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is when you get the book, read it, and apply these things, and at first you're not going to believe it. You're
mm-hmm.
not going to say, this is impossible. It can't be. And others around you, I'm going to give you kind of a, not a warning, but a suggestion. when you're with others and these things start to happen, they certainly won't believe that they're coming through you, because it hurts their ego that they're not doing them, and it affronts them. But when they start happening, you won't even believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they happen again and again, then you're going to start understanding. So there's levitation, there's teleportation, there's time travel. Now, a big thing is made about time travel, and you need a mechanism, or is time travel possible?
Mm-hmm.
Of course. You can go back and forward in time.
Some people claim you need a Merkava.
Well, yes, I understand the Drunvalo Melchizedek Merkava of going out of this dimension and then coming back. But you come back to a realm that you left, and I kind of equate it to, okay, you have a major problem, and you get drunk. Well, during that period of drunkenness, the problem doesn't exist.
Mm.
At least, you know, it's not too big. When you sober up, boy, that problem's still there. So when the Merkaba comes back and you all get out of the Merkaba and you go, uh-oh, this place is burnt to a crisp. What this does, this shows you a different way. Let me give you an example of this avatar who lived up in the New England states and died about 80 years ago.
Okay.
And this person had a little party over at their house, and it was a cold New England day. It was miserable. I mean, it was snow out there. The leaves had no, or the trees had no leaves on it. It was cloudy. It was just outside. And there's a little girl there, about 4 and a half, who subsequently wrote a book about this. And to the little girl, she said, come here, I'm going to show you something. And she brought her over to the window, and she said, now this is what I see. And she showed this little girl a beautiful sunny day.
Mm-hmm.
No snow, the trees had fully leaved and everything. So, do you have time for one more story?
Oh, plenty of time.
Okay, this is about a gentleman called Murray Davies. And he was my wife's first teacher in this ancient methodology. And this is not new, it goes back to the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to a time since then that people really don't want you to know about, because it'll show you who and what you really are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Murray was a very, very famous concert singer in London in the 40s and 50s, London, England. And he, in 1951, had a concert outside of London about 30 miles. And it was during the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And he went, and his car, it was before they had the automatic windshield wipers on cars, so every 20 yards he had to get out and scrape the snow off. And he kept using this modality that it's talked about in the book, and the code that you solve to get to it. And he did this every single 20 yards, and you know what happened?
No.
Nothing. He went 30 miles, and nothing seemed to happen.
Huh.
Uh-huh, that's what you think. And so I'm giving you another warning. I'm saying when you try these things and nothing seems to happen, don't worry about it. The following year, this is 1952,
uh-huh,
Murray had another concert, and I think it was in the summer, fall, something like that, and it was about 40 miles out of town. And he came back, and it was the strangest thing, he said to my wife. He said, look, this was before they had any speed limits on the roads in England, so I was going 100 miles an hour down the road. But it was strange because all the cars coming and going on both sides were all pulled over to the side with their lights on, going bumper to bumper at about 10 miles an hour. He said, I couldn't figure it out. It was a sunny day, not a cloud in the sky. It was gorgeous. And he got back to his flat, and the phone was ringing, and it was mother, and she was his mother, and she was out of her mind. And she said, my God, you made it back. And he said, well, you know, why? She said, well, how did you drive? He said, well, fine, no problem. It's just, you know, I just flew back. And he said, well, it's the killer fog. Now, the killer fog in London in 1952 was actually what we call smog. And it was so thick, this is historical records, it actually, you could not see the hand in front of your face. It was so thick, it actually seeped into houses. And like in one case, this house with six people all died because they asphyxiated.
Wow.
Young soldiers in the prime of their life, age 22, 23, were dropping over dead because they couldn't breathe.
Mm.
What happened was they counted 12,000 dead before they stopped counting.
Jeez.
But you see, for him, it was not there. Now, let me give you one more example. At the epicenter of the bomb at Hiroshima or Nagasaki, one of the two, and I'm not sure which, but I'll find out. When that bomb hit, it just vaporized everything at the epicenter, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how the story goes, but that's not totally true. It is said, and I'll give you some fact behind this, that there were a handful of people who were totally untouched. Nothing happened to them. Now, We don't know that, except there is a Japanese folk song about these people.
Hmm.
Now, if you go to the Bible, I'm going to use that just as a reference, because if we talk in terms of Lao Tzu or Sitting Bull, not a lot of people use that as a reference, so a lot of people know the Bible. So if you go to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown in the fiery furnace and locked in there, it was all stoked up, and they were left in there for 24 hours, and they came out, and they were totally untouched.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, to me, the most important thing. The most important thing is the following statement. Their clothes did not even smell of smoke.
What?
Well, I wasn't there at the time, I don't think. So I did see a documentary, though, and we all know about firewalking.
Oh, yes.
You know, people run across the coals going, cool moss, cool moss. And I hope they don't get burned. And the reason I never did it is because I'm one of those idiots that probably stop halfway across and just get burnt to the crisp. But what happened was I did see this documentary from black and white. It was from the 30s, and it was of this group, and they were dancing in the fire.
Mm.
And they were dancing in the fire. This was coals, flames, everything. And not only were they unscathed, and they stayed in the fire and danced, their clothing was totally unscathed.
Mm.
So I can believe it. I've had a lot of personal experiences, but that, I can believe, happened to them.
Hmm.
So, that's another story.
Well, why did you choose the title Maya?
I didn't.
It chose you.
What happened was, I had a burning bush experience. I was raising a 4.5-year-old girl by myself, and I was not religious, I was not spiritual. But I knew I wasn't on the right path because I was a semi-alcoholic, and then it's just totally above my head. So I said, well, I'll read the Bible. Maybe there's something in there. And I got into Revelations, the chapter in Revelation, which nobody understands. Don't let them fool you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it does say several things that I kind of took some credence to. It said, you know, woe to the woman who is pregnant at that time. Also, it says mankind will have to go into the hills just to live. And it also said a third team thing. That if it weren't for time being shortened, that in all probability, mankind would not live. And you know time is being shortened, but that's another subject. But anyway, I got very compassionate. I said, everybody wants to, leave the planet before all this happens. I'd like to stay behind and be of the highest spiritual service. Well, that was a stupid thing to say, but I knew nobody was listening. What happened, Lance, was that very subtly, and I didn't even recognize this, my life turned into an Indiana Jones type adventure. I mean, I was wearing three-piece suits in the boardroom meetings, and I was being a father to a little girl. But on the weekends, I was doing these archaeological digs or interfacing with the Native Americans or whatever, and aliens, and on and on and on. Well, I know, but it's what really happened. And then I didn't realize why all these experiences were happening, but I was having fun with it. They were just more than what most people can accept.
Mm.
And then years later, I was told to write this book, and I said, who, me? I'm not a writer. Well, you will, because I said I run an international corporation. No, write the book. And they sent me several people, angelic guides, whatever you want to call them, spirits. And one night when I was writing this, I said, I don't really think this is, I think I'm just fantasizing about this whole thing and putting in personal stories. Could you give me a sign? And lo and behold, the room filled with this beautiful perfume. And I said, But the next night, I said, no, I think I'm fantasizing. It was 2 a.m. I probably had too much pizza for dinner. Can you give me another sign? And immediately the room filled up with a man's real stinky cologne.
Yeah.
I went, I am a believer. But by the third night, you have to know me. It's been said I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. And so I said, could I have just one more sign? And the room filled up with cigarette smoke. No, I do not smoke. I've been trained in ancient mystery schools, also by the Lakota spirits and medicine people, and also something else. But I do not use tobacco in an informal way, and especially not around a computer, for Pete's sake.
Right.
And that was just a heavy cloud. So I said, okay. So this is why the whole book came about, and it's been orchestrated. In fact, when I was writing it, the interesting thing, I won't give anything away, but he was driving along and he gets a call on his cell phone. And I go, okay, how do they know his cell phone number? And I hear this voice, well, it was because his wallet fell out in the cave and he got it from his business card. And I went, oh, okay. So I put that in. So that's how the whole thing went. But the book is very unusual. Now, a lot of people will have a rough time believing these actually happen. I'm going to give you a scientific experiment. This is unusual because science is something you can replicate. find somebody. Now, you can't do this because I'm going to tell you about it, so you will have it in your mindset. But find somebody who doesn't know about this, who's extremely psychic, extremely vibrationally sensitive,
mm-hmm.
and say to them, okay, I want you to stand with your back to me, and I'm going to put something down on the floor. Don't show them it's a book.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to extend your hand out over that object, palm down. I want you to bring it down slowly until you feel the aura or energy field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most books have an energy field of 4, 6 inches, 8 inches, somewhere in that range. The Bible, Talmud, Quran go out 12 to 18 inches somewhere. It has never failed yet that for getting 18 inches, people will stop 4.5 feet above the book.
Mm.
That's how far they can feel the emanation from it.
Mm-hmm.
So the word Maya was given to me. And why? I can't tell you. It's part of the secret. You have to read it, and then you go through, is it Maya Angelou? Is it Maya Indians? What is this?
Mm-hmm.
And how does it pertain to me? This book, everybody who reads it has been called to read it. This
mm-hmm.
is a cosmic gift to a very select number of people on the planet. This
mm-hmm.
isn't meant for everybody. It'll be huge. There's a movie coming out in 2007 and all of that sort of thing, and it's the first of 5 books, 4 movies. But you are the people who think out of the box, and you are the people who are going to be able to take this code and change the future. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
So there is sufficient information inside the book to actually make real changes in a person's life.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely. But it gives, it starts where you're at. In other words, a lot of people cannot handle the depth of information.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can handle one level, it'll give you that level.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't even handle that, it'll give you another level.
Mm-hmm.
If you can handle the deepest level, this is the fastest path to cosmic consciousness in all of the things. Let me give you an example. Let's go back to Jesus again just for a moment.
Okay.
He made many statements, and there's some that really echo with me. And one was, he said, everybody said, well, you know, you're the Son of God. And he said, whoa, wait a minute. He said, is it not written in your own literature, you are also the sons of God? So he didn't get down from his pedestal. He brought all of you up to his level. Now, most people don't want to hear that. They want to say, well, you know, he could do these things, but we can't. And so his apostles said to him at a later time, okay, then but you're the Son of God because you walked on water, you changed water into wine, you calmed the seas when it was really rough, we're about ready to be swamped in the boat. You made manifest things out of thin air and fed the multitudes with just a couple baskets of fish and bread.
Mm-hmm.
And the topper was your friend Lazarus, your best friend, was dead, stinking, and wrapped in linen in a cave for 4 days. And you went, no, he's just asleep. And you went and you brought him out. So you're the Son of God. Do you remember? No, I won't put you on a test, but most people forget what he said. He said, hey, look, what I have done, in other words, these miracles and greater shall they, meaning modern man,
mm-hmm.
also do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so what has happened is we are given a situation where the world is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we are been given the divine formula for turning it around. And will some people have some problems? Yes. But I did know one avatar. He was a friend of mine. And he would do all sorts of things. I mean, he would teleport. He would make things come out of thin air and all sorts, you know. And he said, you know, Dane, an atom bomb can go off next to you, and for you it will not exist, and for you it will not be.
Mm-hmm.
It may be for others.
This sounds a little bit similar to the concept that one person will be left standing and another will disappear. You know, there are a lot of theories about the ascension, and that, you know, some people will be in another dimension and the rest will be in third dimension. So, but there's a lot of different theories about that, and, of course, there's no way to know how those things work.
Well, let me share with you. That's close, but it's not quite there.
Okay.
One time I had the need for a root canal,
mm-hmm.
and I'd gone to a person who practices modality that night, and we were talking. I was going to have the root canal the next day. And on the way back, I hadn't eaten because I couldn't eat. It was just, I mean, everything, just even sucking in air was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I had this cosmic directive to pull off into this restaurant. And I said, are you kidding? I can't eat anything. So I pulled off into the restaurant. And I sat down, and I didn't know what to order. So knowing me, I ordered, you know, the salad, the steak, and everything.
Uh-huh.
And the whole enchilada, pardon me. And they brought the salad out, and it was iceberg salad with those real kind of stocky, I mean, heavy leaves, that sort of thing. And I put it in my mouth, and I bit down on it. It was like somebody putting a hot poker in my mouth.
Ooh.
And I went, oh, my God. And I said, and I tried to gum it with my tongue. That didn't work, so I was swallowing the leaf whole.
Huh.
And I said, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm supposed to be here, so I'll be here if it takes forever. And the voice came to me, it can take but an instant. And this is what I want all of you to know when it comes to these world problems that you're going to be seeing in ever-increasing depth and panic.
Mm-hmm.
It can take but an instant to totally flip the switch and change the whole thing, and you are the keys to it. So anyway, I started using this method, this ancient secret.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, within a few minutes, the pain lessened, and it lessened, and then the pain stopped. And I had everything. I had the steak. I even ordered ice cream, which is like giving a break. I had coffee, you know. So I went down to the dentist next day to have my tooth pulled. And he came out and he said, I'm terribly sorry. We've lost your x-rays. We've got to make some more. And I went, well, you know it's a bad tooth. Why don't you just pull it instead of charging me for more x-rays? He said, I won't charge you. So he went in and he made the x-rays. He came out about 15 minutes later with the most strange look on his face, and he said, I can't understand it. Your tooth is perfect.
Huh.
There's nothing wrong with it. Well, that's only half the story. Now, let me give everybody another warning. I got so inflated with pride, this is the first demonstration that ever happened, that I went around, I healed my tooth. I healed, you know. And first of all,
praise the Lord.
Pardon? Yeah, right.
Praise the Lord, hallelujah.
Well, that was kind of, you know, I was like, I am a great healer.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's one of the first things that you learn is you don't heal anything. You change focus. And I'll mention this about the Exxon Valdez oil slick.
Okay.
Is that it came back again 4 months later. And I don't care what I did. It didn't work.
Yeah.
Like the Hopis say, power spoken is power lost. If you start getting into the ego trip, it's all taken away from you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you remember the Exxon Valdez oil slick back in 89?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, everybody does, but they don't know the rest of it. It took 11,000 workers 15 years before they were dismissed, and they still didn't get all the oil off of the rocks.
No.
Now, the Shetland Island oil spill took place just several years after that. And the Shetland Islands are between, this is fully documented, you know, these are things you can research into the book.
Mm-hmm.
Between England and the west of England, there's the Shetland Islands. And the huge oil spill, it was the 12th largest in humanity, and that's something to keep in mind because this thing just decimated everything. It birds were oiled and gummed and everything was a problem, and it was going to kill off all the wildlife and wreck most of the people on the island. Okay. Two women. Now, the scientists couldn't do anything. They were just absolutely beside themselves, and the sea was choppy and windy, and you know. And so two women got into this modality that it's explained in the book, and it tells you how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first, and let me back up. Most people in normal religions get on their knees and go, God, take that oil slick away. And sometimes prayers work, and sometimes they don't seem to, and there's a reason for that. But it most often, And they didn't do that. Now, your shamans and all of a sudden, all of your ritualists will get out there with the crystals or whatever and do their ceremonies, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but they didn't do that. They did something else entirely different. It's an ancient way, and it's your divine right. It's the ultimate pure way to do it. Doesn't mean you stop going to church or shul or whatever your studies are.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this in addition to that, and it tells you how to do it and make it your own because it's, as they say, your divine birthright. But anyway, within 4 days, both of these women started to cry at the same time because they knew it was all right, and the seas calmed, and the scientists all ran out, and they went, ooh, no oil slick. Scientists need to explain everything.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. That's why they're not going to be able to get this ancient methodology like you people.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? They said the wind blew it away. Now, Lance, you and I know that oil floats.
Right, right.
So if it blew and it's the 12th largest, it was like 700 miles long, where does it blow to? So, okay. But they're saying it blew away. They say, well, we put some chemicals on the water. It must have sunk to the bottom. And I quote a BBC cameraman who sent a camera down there, and he said, we've sent a camera down, and the sand is pure white as snow.
Mm.
The whole oil slick vanished in 4 days.
Wow.
Now, you take the Hezbollah-Israeli conflict that just happened, and there was a major oil slick off of Lebanon. Wouldn't it be nice, because it's killing off all the wildlife and everything else, for that oil slick just to vanish?
Well, not to mention the depleted uranium that everybody's being exposed to.
Oh, we're dumping so much uranium in with our shells and everything else over in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a terrible thing. And yet, all of that radiation can totally vanish in a twinkling of an eye. Let me give you another example. We have another insane leader, the head of North Korea, with nuclear capability of striking the West Coast.
Yes.
Now, that is a real issue. That is a real problem. And those missiles are real, and so is their destruction. However, all of those missiles can be neutralized. So they will not do anything, period, using this ancient methodology. And that's one of the things we're going to be addressing every 3 months. We're going to be talking about global warming and how to diffuse that and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. I'm really impressed with also the dialogue and the characters. For instance, the repartee of the two main characters reminds me of some of the great screen duos like Hepburn and Tracy in the Thin Man series. What was your inspiration for their sizzling love-hate relationship? Was that a personal one?
I was kind of hoping you wouldn't go there.
All right. Well, I have another question.
Let me put it this way.
It was in good taste.
Yes. I have to leave that one on the table.
Okay. All right. And there was another. There were a couple of other mentions that I thought were really fun. There's some tributes to Art Bell and George Nury in the book. They're mentioned a few times. And I was wondering if they were inspiration for you, as they have been for me personally.
Well, inspirations, no. However, they, like you, and I really have to take my hat off to BBS Radio and to you, Lance, and to Coast to Coast and a few other similar radio programs.
Mm-hmm.
Because you happen to be such an important aspect in saving the world. You really have a divine destiny of bringing people to this type of information.
Mm-hmm.
And without you, this wouldn't be available. It's just not out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that think out of the box, and this is the type of people that can solve this code, are the people that are actually going to save the earth. Now, I quote Art Bell specifically because he used one modality of what is called mass consciousness.
Oh, yes.
And there was a drought down in Texas, just using one example. And he wanted to see if he could get all people focusing on rain down there. And I show people, depending upon where you are and what level of spirituality you're working at, there are different things that work. Like, it talks about radionics.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people that don't know about that, we can talk about it. But it talks about this mass consciousness. And so he did something. And it had a deluge down there that was too much, and he did it wrong.
Oh.
But he did prove a point. It was like Richard Hoagland's heart. Richard C. Hoagland, like the guy that saw the face on Mars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Hoagland had a heart problem, and he had an instantaneous, miraculous cure. Now, that shows one modality. Let's put it in the framework of how it can be used, because I'm telling people, you can use that, and this is how you use that, or you can use this higher modality. Both are good.
Mm-hmm.
Using the lower modality is not bad, but it doesn't have the same effect. Let's say that there's an asteroid coming to hit the Earth, and there is.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're told it's 2026, 2028. That's not really true. It's 2011, but the government doesn't want you to know that. Okay. The Art Bell method would be to get everybody focusing on that asteroid going off course,
mm-hmm.
and that can work. And so people can network around the world, and they can see this asteroid, should it come, and it will come, going off course and saving the Earth, because, you know, the one 65 million years ago was only 22 miles long, and it caused a nuclear winter. There is this other methodology that I'm not going to tell you about because you have to solve the code. However, what it does is not only would that asteroid disappear, but no asteroid would ever come again.
Hmm.
With one methodology, let's assume you're a shaman and you break your arm, and or somebody breaks their arm and you do some healing and that arm is healed. Okay, they can break their arm again or their leg or their back or whatever. This other methodology is not only is it healed, actually it is not healed, your thinking is healed, so that is healed, and I won't get into that, it's kind of confusing at this point, but you won't break anything again, period.
Hmm.
It's done. It'll never happen. You're totally protected. So this higher methodology not only protects the world or protects you. Let me give an example. Let's assume you're broke or you've just lost your job. You have no money.
That's a pretty good one. I like that.
Okay. Now, if there is a God and God is infinite in resources, there should be infinite money. And we can put out our prayers, or we can, if we want to sell our real estate, we can bury St. Joseph upside down on the property and all that sort of thing. But if you really use this modality and understand it, money will come pouring in on you like the Niagara River. In fact, this one avatar I told you that showed a little 4.5-year-old girl, she said, after I understood it, I mean, she'd have piles of money just materialized. When she said, oh, I needed $1 million, there it was, just materialized on the table. But she said, after I understood it, I could no more stop the flow of money than I could stop Niagara River with a straw.
Wow.
You know, because there's this infinite good that wants to give you the good. We set up the block to the good, and I do this.
Mm-hmm.
Part of my life is just trying to get these blocks out.
How do we reconcile the what we consider to be good and evil on this planet?
I'm having a rough time hearing you, Lance.
How do we reconcile what appears to be evil, or that which is not good, that which is against the higher interests of love and harmony and peace?
Really good question. And it goes back to those tiers of chess. And I'm going to tell you something that evil exists, and I'm going to tell you evil doesn't exist, and in two realms at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Evil does exist, and it can manifest in so many forms I cannot even begin to describing. But when you break through and you get to this higher level of understanding, all the evil disappears and will never come again.
Hmm.
So does evil exist? Yes. But let me stop here, and this is a question I would normally ask somebody who was not as spiritually advanced as you, so bear with me on the beginning questions.
Right.
But let's just do it by the numbers, kind
right.
of painting. Is there a God, or this aspect we call God?
Oh, I'd say yes.
Okay, now, so there is this infinite deity. Is it everywhere, or are there pockets where this essence is not?
Well, my own particular belief went in the direction that it's everywhere, period. It's in everything, and we're in it.
Okay, then if that is the case, then it permeates time, space, if you want to call them dimensions, it is just... It's just the same. It's constant. Now, does this essence make mistakes, or is it perfect? That's not a trick question.
No, I know.
This is not Jeopardy.
I know. I say perfection.
Well, you know, if it's not, then it's a demigod. You know, it's less than a real God.
Yes,
God is perfect.
Yes, otherwise, it's not exactly.
You will find the atheists or the agnostics sometimes the most spiritual of people because they really examined the question. They said, look, and they look around life and they see all these problems. And they said, if this is God, the hell with him. I don't want any part of that.
Mm.
So God really is perfect, and yet we see all of this misery. We see wars. We see the breathable oxygen down to 21.6%. We see radiation and contrails and evil governments and all of this. We're going like, Lord, where are you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On one level, this is there. But when you reach another level, like that little 4.5-year-old girl, none of this will be there for you. It'll all be vanished.
Hmm.
So evil does exist on one level, but on another level, it does not exist. And part of your mission is to reawaken to who and what you are.
Mm-hmm.
The whole book is a singular movie. And very strangely enough, there is a movie within the book. So there are two movies, really. One movie is a chapter. For many people, we'll add a new chapter to the Bible because it really explains what happened before Genesis. It's called pre-Genesis, and it goes into really who and what you are, how aliens came about, and where this whole thing is going. And it describes it in such a way that will awaken you to a new depth of your existence that you don't even know exists.
Well, I look forward to that because I think that's something we really need. You know, and many people believe that extraterrestrials are working with us constantly, neutralizing atomic warheads and this and that, and, you know, moving chess pieces around invisibly to try to, to help. And it would appear that, you know, many things don't happen, that technically asteroids break up somehow and so on and so forth. But do you feel like we are having, do you feel that we have help from extraterrestrial sources?
I can tell you, I know personally, in Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, that we have been helped and are helped and will be helped. But there is a point in time where you evolve enough spiritually that you have to do your own homework.
Well, that's what we're doing now, right?
Well, yes. However, we have a very short period of time to make it or break it.
Is there a possibility that we'll fail?
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't believe so. There is a possibility mathematically. But this whole thing, like this book, I wanted out 2 years ago. And I found out it was blocked from coming out until this exact month. And people, when they get the book, will understand that it's coming out a specifically, cosmically pointed, guided time in the history of mankind, that before this it would not have been good, after this it would not have been good, right now is when you need to hear it. In fact, there's even prophecy about the October surprise. There's prophecy about who's the next president going to be.
Oh, yes. Talk about that.
Oh, I can't. It's a surprise.
That's right.
If you get into the book and you study it, it will become apparent to you. But it's not just because you're given this code and you solve it, it doesn't mean that you're going to instantaneously have nirvana. You go one step at a time, and things will open up so subtly but so powerfully, you'll look around and you're like, oh, my, did that really happen? And you go, yes, it did. Hey, I have to say something about the book, if I might.
Yes.
That it was supposed to be out in January, but because of some late-breaking news, we were forced to get it out now, and also some climatological things that have just been found out. So we had to launch it in September. It's a worldwide launch. And yet, so the bookstores are going to be having it. Somehow they've gotten their wires crossed a little bit and think it's coming out in December. It's available online if people want it. You can get it at Amazon.com, but unfortunately, their ordering system, it's going to take you roughly 5 weeks to get it.
How can people get it right away?
Well, right away, what I've been guided to do is give the first 100 people, they'll buy it for $24.95. Shipping is like $6.50, but I'm kicking in like $2.55 of that, so shipping is $3.95, and they will get the first 100 people an autographed copy of it just by going to the website or calling the toll-free number. And then with the book, you get a $5 check rebate.
Ah.
And so, you know, I would really recommend not to wait on this because time is of the essence.
Why don't you give us that website and toll-free number?
To break in here for a second.
Yeah, it's very simple.
Sorry, I just wanted to break in here for a second. I apologize to you and your audience. The next show is going to be late. There's a lot of listeners on right now, and the next show is going to be late, about 30 minutes, possibly 45. Liz is getting everything ready for us now. In the meantime, if Lance, you and your guest want to continue on for another 30 minutes, that's...
I'm fine with it if he is.
Oh, I've got stories to tell you.
Okay, well then go another 45.
Let me tell you how you can get the book, and then we'll tell you more stories.
Let's get this information out to people, because I want everybody to read this book.
Well, it's very special, and the people that are getting it are very special. It's just not for everyone. But anyway, the book is called Maya, M-A-Y-A. However, if you are on a cell phone or on a phone, you can call 877-ITS-MAYA. That's I-T-S-M-A-Y-A. Or if you're on the computer, just www.itsmaya.com. Either way.
Okay. And we'll mention that again before we close.
Okay.
I want people to be able to find it and get it immediately, because it's a must read. You know, very few books blow my skirt up, and this is one of them. So, you know, folks, you trust me on this one. It's definitely worth having and keeping and reading and reading over and over as well. Dane, do you foresee a second book in the works at some point?
Oh, not only a second one. There are 5 books in the series and 4 motion pictures.
Wonderful. I can't wait.
And
it's just such an exciting book. I mean, I could not put it down.
It is like, many people describe it like this. They say what you've done is you grabbed me by the lapels, you pulled me through a portal, you put me on a raft going down the Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I was scared to death, and I couldn't get off. And by the time I got through, I said, can I go again?
Yes, that's it. That's exactly the thing.
You know, it leaves you breathless, and yet the stories are primarily true.
Well, you know, that's the feeling I got from it, too. And, you know, when I read a book that's thinly veiled fiction, I have my own intuitive test to see, you know, what does this feel like, a fictional event or not. And to be quite honest with you, most of the wild ride felt very real to me. So there was a lot that happened in there that many people would say, well, this is craziness. But I sense that there was a lot that happened to you that's probably way outside the box of most people.
So much happened that I cannot even describe at this level, and will come out in the other books.
Mm-hmm.
The people have to really know where I'm coming from, and they have to demonstrate these things to themselves
mm-hmm.
to really believe it. Let me give an example. I'm an average individual.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that is listening is very special, and I'm not just saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Each of you are very special. This is divine message specifically written for you, and you will see that in the last sentence of the book. It tells about this being a gift from the cosmic to you and why you have activated this book. This is not by accident. However, my wife accidentally threw this ring away, $5,000 ring, and she threw it away at a truck stop thinking she was throwing out a lot of Kleenex.
Oh, no.
And she wraps it up in Kleenex because it was a particular stone that's very, very rare. And I threw it away, and, you know, it was gone for several months, and she was just lamenting.
Mm.
So finally I sat down, and I was just knowing the truth, shall we say, or using this modality.
Mm-hmm.
And I was directed to go look in her purse again.
No.
But this was not a purse that she had that night.
Huh.
There the ring was.
Oh, my.
You know, these things, let me give you another example. I had this very object that was sacred, and I was walking along with it, and I tripped, and I fell, and I used that to cushion my fall, and I kind of broke it, and that was a no-no. But anyway, I still had it. I still used it, and I like sometimes to work in the dark. I feel, you know, it helps me focus or let go and just not get thrown off by the light, although the best time is during the day, too. Anyway, I was, you know, had this object there next to me, and I was doing some of this modality, and I was not, the key is this, you're not always trying for a specific thing. It comes.
Yeah.
Because, as it says in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all those things will be added unto you. So you don't have to, you know, God knows what you need before
mm.
you ask.
Mm-hmm.
And the object I noticed was glowing blue. I said, well, that's interesting. But, you know, I just kept on. And when I lit the candle and the lights came back on, so to speak, I looked down. And where the object was, it was totally repaired. But it was a rock object. It was a rock of a particular color. And it was filled in with a pink rock.
Hmm.
Totally seamless.
Wow.
So.
How unusual.
Well, you know, science cannot believe. See, the science. Okay, here's the thing. Science replicates things in the laboratory, and it makes it scientific. It's empirically tested.
Mm-hmm.
Philosophy, just as valid, but you can't do things like that. Like, you know, spirituality is a philosophy,
mm-hmm.
but you can't replicate it often. There is a third aspect, and it's just because science has not yet caught up to being able to measure it. And that's what this deals with. This deals with something beyond the string theory of quantum physics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
String theory is okay, but it's a lower modality. This is way beyond string theory.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you really get to this, like this avatar that I knew, you know, he'd go to different planets and so on and so forth. It was no big thing. I have to tell you, one day he was walking along with two other people, and this is a recorded situation. And all day long, it was a two-part story, because all day long it was out in the hot Arizona sun, and he had a half canteen of water, and he'd pour the water out. And all day long they'd be drinking in the hot Arizona and walking. And by the way, when they got back, they still had a half a canteen of water, but that's not the story. When they got all the way to the end, it was sundown, and it was way out there. He wanted to get back rather quickly, and so he teleported all three of them back.
Hmm.
Now, one person was of the understanding that this audience is, they could handle it, but one person was more fundamental, shall we say,
okay,
and couldn't handle it. So that person was given a belief that they walked back and all the things and conversations they had while walking back, and that's what that person remembered. So that person teleported back but thought they walked back.
Right.
The other person said, wow, you had us teleport back? And he said, yeah, no big deal.
Interesting.
These things, I have to tell you another story about this teenager back in Germany.
Okay.
And she... one of her parents was Jewish and one was German, so they didn't kill her, but they did put her in the concentration camp. I believe she was around 14. I have a friend of mine who actually met her. And she had very bad eyesight, and day after day she would smell the burning bodies, and she was had to be part of that whole thing, and just, I mean, oh, it was terrible.
Mm.
And they sent her in town because of her failing eyesight to this optometrist. And while she was sitting there waiting, she found this book that dealt in this modality, and it was in German. And she said to the optometrist, she said, whoa, this sounds interesting. Can I read it? And he said, oh, my gosh, how'd that get out there? Because if I'm even found with it, I'm killed.
Hmm.
And she begged him, as only a prepubescent teenager can do. And he said, okay, but please, I need the book back, and don't let anybody see you have it. So she read it. And she got so much into the modality that's explained in this book, Maya, but also in the subsequent books, that if God is, and God is everywhere, and God is perfect, war is not a part of God.
Mm-hmm.
War is something man creates. And she's, now you get into a zone, and she got so much into that zone that during the mid-afternoon, now you have to understand, we've all seen like Hogan's Heroes or the concentration camp movies where the guard dogs are walking back and forth, and the people up in the guard towers, the machine guns fully cocked and ready for anybody, and the gates are closed.
Oh, yeah.
She got so much into what we call the realization, the understanding, that only God is in charge, that she walked straight out.
Huh.
The gates were open. Nobody stopped her. I don't know if she was invisible or visible. I don't know. And that's only part of the story. So she walked out because war was not part of her reality anymore. It was everybody else's in Europe, but not hers. She got into town. And we all know the stories about food being so scarce, the people would bring wheelbarrows full of money for a loaf of bread. I mean, they were living on script. I mean, you were doled out script, and this is how you got your food, and nobody had enough script, nobody had enough food.
Well, that time is approaching again.
Well, yes, but here, this is going to be the salvation to those people listening. This is why you have called this into your existence and why this book is so important to you.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened is people would come up to her on the street and say, sweetie, I've got too much script. Would you like some? And she'd go, okay. Now, what also they would say is, and somebody else would come up and say, by the way, I have an extra room. Do you have a place to stay? You look like you're lost. She'd say, yeah, I'll come with you. And so she had food and lodging throughout the war. But she was divinely protected. And this is something else that you all are going to have to be, because you're going to be some of the first people to go if you don't get into this modality. That's how it's coming down, is that, as sometimes the Gestapo would be coming through the front door, and she'd just feel divinely guided to leave, and she'd be going out the back door. And this would happen time and time and time again throughout the entire war, and she subsequently wrote a book and did a world tour. And as I said, a very a practitioner friend that I know who works with this modality has actually met her on the tour, and he's a teacher himself.
Mm.
So this sort of thing is divinely protects you regardless of what was going on around. She did not see the war. She was so protected. This Murray Davis, again, he was in London, and the bombs were falling. And we know the Blitz, how they would just decimate blocks, level blocks. And he would walk along, and he said, okay, if there's a God and God is perfect and war is not God, these bombs seem to be dropping awfully close, and he said his knees would shake and you know, hit together. But he'd say, okay, but there's only perfection. And he got so much into the zone, even though he was that terrified, that not only he, but none of his acquaintances, relatives, friends in his sphere of understanding had anything happen to them. And you know, it goes on like that. In fact, a friend of mine, a teacher called Betty Brune, Betty was in Phoenix, and Betty was in World War II at Pearl Harbor, mm-hmm. and this is well documented. Her husband was an officer, and so they had the finest of whatever Pearl Harbor military medical could give. And her son was born without heels, no heels on either foot. Mm-hmm. And the doctors took x-rays and everything else, and they said, lady, he just doesn't have heels. And she said, well, how can God lose a heel? And they said, lady, he doesn't have heels. He's going to be a wheelchair for the rest of his life. And she said, oh, I don't think so. And so she went and used this modality. And several months later, she came in, and the kid had two heels. Now you're saying, well, he grew the heels? No. The book deals with something else, and it'll show you something else. And I don't want to rob that surprise from you, but heels didn't grow. Something else. But anyway, he went on to be a very famous football player at the military academy of the Air Force. And then they sent him on to Vietnam. And he called his mother and he says, Mom, do this thing you do and get me out of Vietnam.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
And they're going to send me right up front. Mom, I'm not coming back if I go. And she said, render under Caesar what is Caesar's. We will just know that God has no part of this war. And he wrote back and he said, night after night, in where they were ever staying, he said the mortars would be raining in, the machine gun bullets and everything else. But he said in the morning when they would go out, there was just an absolute line mm-hmm. all around where they were, and no mortar, no bullet came within that circle.
Mm.
So this is how it happens.
You know, I often wonder how people who reveal so much information, such as yourself, and people like David Icke and, Jim Mars and the many other people who are speaking out, how they manage to keep from getting attacked or from being silenced. And I do believe that there is such a thing as divine protection, and also that there is protection by being public about your views.
Well, there again, there is divine protection, but when you rise into a higher level, there is no evil to be protected against. And that's where you're really headed, Lance. That's where everybody is headed.
That's a hard one to wrap our minds.
Of course it is. This is not easy. It's simple. It's very simple, but it's not easy because we've been so programmed,
right.
And this one little pre-Genesis thing talks about that programming.
Mm-hmm.
We have bought into this millions and billions and billions of years ago.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we hold on to them, and it shows how we've given it power. We've given it life.
And everything around us is designed to create and to maintain that power.
Well, do you know when you're meditating how those little thoughts come in that throw you off?
Oh, no, that never happens to me.
And it happens to me with prayer all the time.
I don't meditate very well, to be perfectly honest.
Neither do I. I'm not a great meditator.
There, nonetheless.
What you do is you get into a state where you're in a constant flow that good happens.
You mentioned the zone. Is that similar to the place where the flow is? Lynn Taggart, I think, wrote a book about the zone, and there's a lot of, talk about the zone. And how do you mean the zone?
Well, zone or realization or understanding.
Okay.
You know, we talk about faith, but there's a higher level than faith. There's understanding.
And
now, when you get out of the bed in the morning, you don't say, my name is Lance White.
No.
Because you know so much. I mean, you are so into that understanding.
Yes, but
there's
I
no
need
faith.
A cup of coffee.
Yeah, that's what I go for, too. But there's no faith that you're Lance White. There's
right.
understanding, and yet
right.
the understanding is so seamless, so yeah. permeated throughout you, you don't even ask the question. And so when you get to that understanding, and the first step is the release of fear.
Mm, absolutely.
Now, once the fear goes, all good happens automatically. You know when miracles happen in your life, it's not like squeezing that last drop out of that toothpaste.
Oh, no.
You know, they go effortlessly.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why is that?
Well, it seems like miracles are the manifestation of a higher reality and a lower one.
That's true, and this deals in the methodology in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's when the things are in alignment, they happen effortlessly.
Yes.
We had a little dog who, it was very small Pekingese. It was smaller than a cat, about half the size of a cat, little dinky thing.
Ooh, little mouse.
And he was having fun chasing this cat around. They were just having a game, and the cat ran and jumped up on the coffee table, which mm-hmm. or no, the you know, little coffee table in front of the couch.
Yeah.
And you know those aren't too high, they're about 20 inches or something. And he ran along, and he jumped up on the coffee table, and he stopped.
Huh.
And he said, I'm not supposed to be able to do this. This is beyond my capability. And he started trembling. He couldn't even jump down. We had to help him down.
Oh.
He never helped. I mean, he never jumped up there again because he knew it was impossible. See, what I told you in the beginning is I said drop everything, that gravity exists,
yeah.
that you need oxygen,
yep.
that there is poverty, all these things.
Yep.
And this is a new dimension, a new reality, a new concept, actually very ancient, but new to us now because we're all full of this, I can't do it.
Mm, yes, absolutely.
But it's not you saying I can't do it. It's something else that has been programmed for billions of years.
Yeah, it's just the programming. There are some people who are using things like ayahuasca to break out of the mold and the programming. In fact, I heard a show last night on George Murray was interviewing a man who is a proponent of using ayahuasca, and he's a brilliant man, and I gave him kudos for speaking so openly about it, and he even took his 20-year-old kids in, and they did ayahuasca, and it seems like... you know, it's about opening the doors to new worlds and, you know, keeping one foot in this world. Yes, you have to function, but also opening the doors of perception to those worlds that are, you know, usually invisible to us. What's your take on that situation, like using some kind of either a device or a technique or a natural herbal chemical to help with that process, because people do need to get jolted out of there.
You know, many people have asked me, they said, when you were teleporting, when things manifested or all sorts of, you know, you did time travel or whatever, what were you on?
Exactly.
I said, nothing. Do you use a mechanical thing? No.
No.
Ayahuasca is excellent if you don't have this ancient secret that's being given here.
Mm-hmm.
It's excellent, however, it's not. It's very limited in one respect because it will tell you remote viewing things and will
right.
tell you other things, but it's of a very lower metaphysical level, not
and,
a bad level.
Yeah, and it does come to an end, and you have to keep using it.
Well, you know, forgetting that you want to throw up and you have diarrhea and all that,
yeah,
and you don't sustain it and so on and so
right.
forth, you cannot do totally the things that I'm suggesting that you are capable of. In other words, ask yourself, does God need ayahuasca to do whatever God does? Okay, let's talk about astrology and numerology.
Mm.
Excellent modalities. Do they work? You bet.
Mm.
But God does not do something because Mercury is about ready to go into retrograde.
Oh, absolutely not.
No. Because that God is this principle, this mother, father, it, whatever, divine essence, cosmic, is
mm.
above that. And what we're saying is, this is what we've been doing up to now,
mm.
but now you're ready to graduate. You're ready to go to the ultimate step of the highest.
Well, how do we take those steps, and how do we know we're on the right path?
Okay. No, it's, that's a rather deep question, and to do it quickly, I'll try.
You don't have to do it quickly. You can answer it in installments. We can always do another show.
Well, if you invite me back, I'll be more than happy to.
I plan on it. We're going to do a part two at some point here in the near future.
All right.
But how do we begin to understand that there's so much out there, Dane, and people are very confused. There are star seeds and indigos and light workers, and you know, there's a lot of information about DNA activation and 12th dimensional la-di-da and tune up your chakras and get your pineal gland going, and a lot of people charging money for stuff that really is just confusing and doesn't get you anywhere except more confused. What's your take on that, and what do you recommend?
There are two paths.
Okay.
There's what is called the zigzag path,
yeah.
or the lightning path,
yeah.
and the path of the arrow.
Okay.
Now, I have been on the lightning path, the zigzag path. And it's like, you know, you go up a mountain and it's too steep. You kind of go this way and then you double back and so on and so forth. And you might try the tarot. And you might try astrology. You might try and on and on. And all these things have validity.
Tools for a while.
They are.
But they are just tools, and they're just things that are you use to empower your own self, which is really the source of the power.
Well, and then there is the time when you say, okay, let's go to the ultimate truth.
Mm.
Now, you ask me, how do you know you're on the ultimate truth? It's by demonstration. Now, you may not have demonstrations immediately. It might take you several years, and you might think you're doing absolutely nothing. Like, you know, Murray Davies, as I told you, he's scraping that ice off his windshield, and that year seemed like nothing happened. The following year, he wasn't doing anything. It just was. Because the healing took place, although he didn't know it healed. Sometimes it can happen in an instant. Sometimes you have to work at it. Don't get discouraged. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. If you start with acknowledgement that there is an essence, a divine being, and that this divine being is everywhere, and this divine being is perfect, and therefore you are like a drop of water in the ocean.
Yes.
You are not the ocean, you are not God, but you are seamlessly imbued with everything that God has.
Right.
And therefore, you are a window through which God shines. You think, Zany Mystic, a.k.a. Lance White, is a male living in America. Actually, what you are, really, is God expressing through this entity.
Right.
Now, when we let go of ego, and ego is the great grand poobah of the problem.
Yeah, well, tell me about it.
I know. You're preaching to the choir here.
Yeah.
But when you let go of ego, then the truth starts appearing to you. We all hear that when the student is ready, the master will appear, and that's totally incorrect. The master is always there, has always been there, always will be there.
Yeah.
It's just when you arrive to a particular level of understanding, you start seeing, and you start expressing.
Right.
So if you go back to the basics, and one of the first things I did was I did a list of the properties of God, or this essence, this divine being. I said, well, God is love, God is omniscience, God is compassion, God is, and you make this whole long list, and you take, and it talks about it in the book. They said, knowing just the secret, the words, isn't enough. You've got to delve into them through meditation, through prayer. Ask for understanding.
It's a living connection. It's not a dead one, and it's not based on words that are in the past.
Correct.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because the real connection is living, and you know, sometimes one way works, and sometimes that same way it doesn't work each time, and you have to be able to try different things to, you know, maybe rewire yourself to in a different direction and try something different or new.
Well, when you say rewire, actually what you're doing is dropping away beliefs that we've carried and shaped us for so many billions of years that are limitations. I explained to you, but I'll explain to the audience, a group of puppies that I had. And this gets into the book in a different explanation of about the native islanders in the South Pacific. But this group of puppies were little Pekingese, cute little guys. And they grew so big that they were kind of poking over the edge of the box. The little paws were up there, and they kind of look over the edge of the box. And I thought, well, you know, they're big enough they can come out and play around the kitchen floor. So I cut this huge hole out of the side of the box. And yet, the puppies were blind that was their exit to freedom because they had been held in this mental prison for so long. Prison. It's like an elephant. If you will tether an elephant by a huge stake, it gets so trained that later on all you have to do is drive just a little stake in the ground, and even though it could just instantly pull it up and take off, it won't do it because it is so programmed that it cannot do it.
Yeah.
We have been programmed that there is time, that there's limitation, that there's death, and so on and so forth. If I take Lance White and I strip away your flesh, okay, there's bones and there's the internal organs. But let's say we take away the bones and the internal organs.
Okay.
What is left?
Well, spirit.
Spirit, okay. Is spirit male or female?
Neither.
Ah, excellent answer. So you are that spirit. masquerading with all these other things around you.
Yes.
But people get into reincarnation quite a bit, and the book explains that reincarnation is not. But it gives you an explanation of what really is. Yesterday, you were not wearing the same clothes that you are today.
Correct.
And yet you're still the same zany mystic. Now, just because you seem to have changed your outer form, you're never going to die. You have always been, because you are a divine soul expression. You may change your outward appearance. And the higher you go, there will be some point in time where you don't even have to do that. You can what is called ascend.
Where we don't, we literally don't die and lose a physical body again.
There's no need.
Exactly.
Because where are you going to go?
If we're
because what
and,
you...
Yeah, if we're infinite and internal, then you know, what's the point of dropping the body and taking on a new one if you can just rearrange the molecules and keep going?
Well, what you realize is that ultimately you are one with the infinite. And while you are not the infinite, you are everywhere and everything the infinite is. So you are all time and places. So let's talk in terms of time travel. If the past, present, and future are all happening at the same time, all you have to do is switch your focus, and you are there.
Yes.
And you can bilocate if you want. You can totally be there. You can go back, forward, up, down. There is no limitation to God, and if you are that which God shines through, there is no limitation to you. But, oh, we believe in limitation, don't we?
Well, if I didn't believe in it so fully, I'd be able to do it right now.
Well, you are able to do it. You know, there's the old expression, the truth shall set you free, and that is incorrect. The truth, or the real way of saying it, is that you are free.
Right.
You just haven't realized it yet.
Yes.
And that's what the book and the series of books and movies are about. Some people won't be able to read the book. Some people will need to see the movie, and that'll spur them to see the book and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But it's a series of teachings.
You mentioned the path of the absolute. Do you, would you like, you've probably been talking about it indirectly all along. That's mentioned as one of the sources of your inspiration, the path of the absolute. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, the absolute is what this entire book is about, and it's the past. It's the method by which you drop the realization of who and what you are, and you realize what and who you really are, and then you. When they came to Jesus and they said, look, you're doing all these things, he said, I'm not doing them. It's the Father, Mother, God within me that does these things. He reached a stage of such humility and such awakening that he no longer was the man. He embodied this consciousness. And so this is one of the problems that we always find, that we don't want to go into this nothingness, this logo, this of the infinite. No. You always will be Lance White. You will never lose that. And I've gotten that from some people that were perhaps even higher than Jesus.
Wow. I think that's one of our greatest fears, is that we'll lose our individuality.
That is the greatest fear.
Yeah.
That you're going to be absolved into a glob of who knows what.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're always going to be. And this is, I have not experienced that viscerally yet. But this has been told to me by some rather unique individuals. So this is what the path of the absolute is. It's awakening to who and what you really are. And this is a graduation period of the earth. We've gone through all these stages, and it's a time where it's time to graduate. And it's that simple.
How do you think that's going to come about? I mean, because it seems like it's so much of the planet is under a thick gauze of sleep, and that it's going to take some kind of catapult or catalyst to help awaken people. But as you said, it's a core group that will be creating the awakening for the rest. I mean, how do you see this coming about? I mean, obviously there are many possible realities.
What is going to happen is we're going to be driven right to the very point of being on our knees until we finally go, like, there's got to be another program.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we're getting to that point very, very quickly. As they say, about about another 10 years, maybe six.
Yeah.
And that's it. And now why I say we don't know is because prophecy is like putting a pole in the sand. Depending upon where human consciousness is at that point, the pole moves closer to you, closer in time,
right.
Or it can move farther back.
Right.
And so this whole thing can be changed. But what is going to happen is you're going to find the political aspect of the world getting so out of hand, the climatic thing so out of hand,
mm-hmm.
that it's going to force people to stop doing what they've been doing and go to something totally different. Now,
mm-hmm.
most people won't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be a core group of, like, the listeners here,
mm-hmm.
That are going to pick that up and are going to run with it. And maybe there will be some who will not totally make it. But this group and all those people within the consciousness of this group are going to make it, and it's going to be a paradise. It'll be heaven on earth.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like there's also going to be, now you, this is one you should really be able to answer, that there's very soon there's going to be a major financial collapse in the country because the markets are just propped up by toothpicks, and they're printing money like it's going out of style, and the housing bubble is bursting, and what's your take on that part of it?
This is one more thing driving people to the edge of insanity.
Mm-hmm.
2007 is going to be absolutely terrible. 2008 is going to be worse, and we don't even want to talk about 2009.
Ew.
For those people that don't use this methodology,
mm-hmm.
but because God is not going to be worried about 2007, 2008, and 2009.
Mm-hmm.
It says in the Old Testament, in a chapter called Habakkuk, the Old Testament prophet, he said, look, God's eyes are too pure to behold iniquity. In other words, God does not see this picture of destruction that we're seeing. You and I are sitting on the couch, and we're watching a horror film,
mm-hmm.
and we pick up the clicker, and we hit it, and we watch a spiritual comedy. Well, we haven't changed. The TV hasn't changed, but we've changed our focus.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of other people out there are going to be watching that horror show. We're going to be watching a spiritual comedy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is changing our focus, okay. and then everything else is going to be added to that.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you also talked about the demonstration. Isn't that part of the demonstration of being closer to your own source or your own truth, the elements of synchronicity which occur in your life?
Rephrase that. I don't understand what you're saying, Lance.
Well, I found for myself that when I'm more aware of my own truth, that synchronicity starts to show up all around me, and it's like the lights on a landing deck with a plane going down.
Oh, yeah.
And that there's the closer I am to my own truth and away from ego, that the more synchronicity reveals to me that that is the correct path that I'm on. But we're always on the correct path.
Well, yeah, but sometimes there's an even better path. When you really get into this, let's say that you and I want a particular parking spot up in a parking spot for the car up in front of some building,
mm-hmm.
and we visualize that and we put it out there as intent.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way of doing it, and that's called manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lower mystical way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
What this does, it talks about you being the absolute best place. Now, let's say it's raining, and you drive up there, and there is a place in front, but this time there isn't. And you're forced to go way out in the parking lot, and it's raining and ugly, and,
mm-hmm.
and you pull up right next to this one little spot, and maybe this little old lady is out there changing her car out in the downpour,
mm-hmm.
and you say, can I help? And you do that. And maybe this person is the answer to all that you need to have happen good in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, had you manipulated it so that you had been right up there front, you would never have met her.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about the synchronicity.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you get into the let going and letting God,
yes.
all these things tend to happen effortlessly.
Yes, yes. I totally agree with you on that one. Totally. I mean, absolutely. That's no argument there.
Well, this is why I want people to get the book as rapidly as possible. I mean, they can wait, the 5 to 6 weeks or 4 weeks, or it's going to be 5 or probably 6, but you get it at Amazon.com. Barnes & Noble, unfortunately, it's going to be December.
Well, but give me that information out again on how to get the book directly now.
Well, the book is called Maya. And the first 100 people are going to receive an autographed copy plus a $5 check, so you're going to get a $5 rebate with each book. And you go to itsmaya.com, itsmaya.com, or just 877-ITSMAYA, and either way you can get the book, and it'll be sent out to you.
I think that's a wonderful opportunity, and having read one of the premier copies, I mean, I was just awestruck by it. So, you know, I fully stand by this book. It's a wonderful book. There's no way that you can lose on it. I mean, even if you just read it on a superficial level and just for the fun and the excitement of it, it's a thrill, a ride, a moment. And it's got so much metaphysical stuff and political stuff. And I mean, it's right on the money. It's so timely. It's hard to imagine it'd be written any better. I mean, I encourage everybody to go out and get the darn book.
Wow, I couldn't have said that better myself. Thank you.
Now, you mentioned the Lakota Indians. Did you spend time with them in your research?
Well, it wasn't so much research. The spirits brought me. The spirits came to me.
Yeah, geez.
And started training me. And I kept going like, I'm a white guy that wears a suit. What's this all about? And strange things started happening. And
wow.
Then the mystical, the medicine people would appear. I mean, not appear, but I mean, I'd be led to them, and they started training me, and the spirits would train me, and all sorts of things. Because
wow.
When you read about Grandpa George in the book,
yes.
I know what I'm talking about.
Wow.
When you read about the encounters of the aliens, I know what I'm talking about.
Some of those were pretty spooky.
I got to thinking about fear. We'll get on a roller coaster, and we know that we're going to end the ride. You know, we may be scared, but we end the ride and get off and wobble around and go have our ice cream. Or in a horror movie, you know, you can always get up and go to get some popcorn or something. This is something that really can be terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, that's just the way it is. So St. John wrote, you know, Dark Night of the Cross, I believe, something of that nature. It's when you get into it and you realize that this is real.
Yeah.
But the problem is the whole planet is forcing us to this situation that either we sink or we swim.
Well, that's the bottom line. I mean, no matter what you think or read or you know, see around you, we're at the end. We're at the end of our rope. And anybody that can't see that is, you know, has major blinders on. You know, and you can slice that in any number of ways. And in the book, it does present, unfortunately, you're kind of assaulted with the many different ways that we are at the end of our rope and that we really do need to take stock and completely turn around.
Well, it talks in the book about back in the 80s, all of the news was basically controlled by roughly 54 or so corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're all controlled by five,
mm-hmm.
and all
yep.
five of those are in lockstep, and you do not hear really what is happening.
Yes.
2 days ago, I guess, the Senate ratified a situation taking away a lot of the constitutional rights. Now,
yep.
for 900 some years, we've had the rule of habeas corpus, where if you were charged with something, you had a right to know what you're charged with, and you had a right to confront your accusers.
Mm-hmm.
This is no longer.
Yep.
And it wouldn't go to the Supreme Court.
Yep.
So you can be, you know, Lance White can be said, well, you know, you're a threat, and you're whisked away
mm-hmm.
without being charged, without ever seeing the light of day, and any lawyer that defends you is going to be called a threat.
Traitor,
and they can be also hauled away.
Yep.
So we've got a situation here where, but you know, I have to say this in defense of the, and I know you won't believe I'm saying this, of the current administration. Everybody has their specific spiritual path, even Judas.
Right, right.
And they are playing a role, nothing
right.
more than a role.
That's right.
And there are layers above that. So
right.
I don't throw rocks at
right.
Washington at this point in time. And when you read the book, it may seem like I'm doing it. No, I'm not.
Right. No,
this is not a political book. This
yeah.
is a spiritual one that has far more layers than most people even care to look at. And unfortunately, most of Americans will not even know about.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. You're right. I used to think that it was important to try to help wake up people, but now I realize that, you know, all that you can do is, you know, share your own truth and live and walk the talk.
Well, it gets into that in the epilogue to a degree. It talks mm-hmm. about the only way that you can really help is by awakening yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
And when you awaken humanity to a greater degree.
Yep.
Believe it or not, it's very strange, but when you wake up, you send that out like the 100th monkey. Do you know about the 100th monkey theory?
Yes, but I think for our audience, it would be great to hear it from you.
Well, if I can recall it exactly, but there was off okay. the coast of Japan
yeah.
where they were doing some studies with some monkeys, and they would bring them yams.
Yes.
And they would dump them out, and the monkeys would run down and grab the yams, and the sandy yams, you know, don't taste good.
Yeah.
And this went on for some period of time until finally, and it was a female monkey, my wife likes me to bring that point up, that came down and she washed the yam off. Next time out, they dumped the yams. All the monkeys came down and washed the yams off. But that's not the fascinating point. They said, let's expand our study. And so they went over to the other islands. And as they were going to the other islands and they dumped off the yams, nobody rushed out to just eat these sandy yams. Mm-hmm. They all went down to the water and they rinsed them off.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they were all, and we are all connected.
Yes.
And this is the interesting thing.
Yes.
You will often hear about a scientist filing for a patent on one side of the world and another scientist filing for the same patent
yep.
on this side of the world.
Yep.
Because we are all connected telepathically and we are all one
yes.
within the universe. If
yes.
God is one, we are one.
Yes.
And so you think you're talking to Dane Alexander and everybody thinks they're listening to Dane Alexander. No, you're simply listening to yourself, perhaps in a different form.
Yes.
But there's only one.
Yes. Yes.
And so, we always talk about the tipping point. It won't take even 2% of the planet to apply these methodologies to change everything. It'll take a fraction of a fraction of that.
Well, my feeling is, with your book coming out, that tells me that we're very close to that tipping point.
Yeah, we are.
We're very close. I'd say, within a few percentile, things are going to tilt one way or the other. But once they tip over, there's no turning back because everybody will get the same information.
That's true. And you talk about the tipping point, like, for instance, with the climate, too.
Mm-hmm.
The situation
with
the climate that it's now going so fast
yes.
down the tube. That's what the picture is, that science no longer has methods to measure how fast it's falling apart.
Yeah.
And yet, everything can be totally reversed in an instant. And that's what the people who are getting this message are going to be doing.
Yeah.
And that's why I cannot tell you, and this sounds so patronizing, and I don't mean that. This book was written for you, Lance. It was written for everybody that's listening. Because I'm simply the postman. I'm simply the message carrier of an ancient methodology brought to you because you've done your spiritual work. The cosmic has looked at that. There's no accident that you are the host, that these people are tuning in or archiving it. They're saying, I've been pulled to this. I want to know this. It's because there's this ancient thread that says, all right, you've done your work. Here's your reward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your time to graduate.
Yep. Yep. I'm looking forward to the big party where we all meet at the end and, at the restaurant at the end of the universe.
Well, I think that's going to be sooner than later for a lot of us.
Yeah.
No, the way it's going, some people will leave this planet and go on to other planets.
Mm-hmm.
But some people are going to see through this and they're going to have a situation where it's going to be a whole different dimension, a whole different reality.
Mm-hmm.
And, we talk about dimensions, and when you get there, there aren't different dimensions, but right now it looks like there are.
Mm-hmm.
But on a higher level, there's only going to be that state of perfection,
mm-hmm.
and yet you still retain your individual identity, and that's very, very important. You don't get lost in this crowd of sealessness.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a frightening thing. I wouldn't want to go there.
Mm, yeah, I agree.
So.
Well, one of the things I had jotted down was about NAFTA and the New World Order. It seems like they're moving full steam ahead.
Well, the book deals with the world going into a one-world government.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks, and these are all things you can research. George Bush, number one, started talking about the need for a new order,
mm-hmm.
a new order. And then several months later, the speech said, well, we need a new world order. And it went on and on. Then Clinton came out and said, we're a global village. And then what we are now talking about is globalization. And we're talking about what was the recent buzzword in Washington, making it our realm. And so that talks about a one world government, which we head. And it talks about various moves that have been made in the past where we are a trade-free zone that was implanted in from Canada all the way down to the a tip of Argentina.
Yeah.
And what's happening. And it looks like just recently we, without a watchdog committee overseeing it, have formed a relationship with Canada and Mexico, as far as I understand it,
yeah,
that we are rewriting the laws to make this kind of a singular country.
Well, then there was that whole brouhaha with the Dubai port scandal, which still hasn't been resolved. They haven't really backed out. And then the Chinese own many of our ports.
Oh, don't start me there. when we give our ports, and this was so quieted down to the Arab Emirates, and Dubai happens to be the mafia head over in that area of that. But also we have allowed the Red Chinese to head up our ports, and they are the ones inspecting, and we can't even inspect that carton over there. No, we can't do that. So.
Mm.
They were given a no-bid contract where the Red Chinese, are watching whether they're bringing in bombs or not. Do you remember about 5 months ago on that bomb scare up in Seattle?
Yes, vaguely.
Yeah, well, they found a carton that came through that had been opened from Pakistan, and the bomb-sniffing dog said, we've got a nuclear situation on our hands.
Mm.
And some dock workers called in, but you never heard about that on the evening news because the news is all controlled. People just don't hear these things.
Yep.
So we've got all these situations which, and then we're moving into a world drought situation. We're moving into a major El Nino situation. The future wars will be fought over water.
Water and food, and then you've got Monsanto trying to create the only genetically modified food on the planet, and everybody has to buy those seeds. That's kind of scary.
Well, and then you have the calderas.
Hmm.
Seven major calderas in the world, which are, these mega volcanoes.
Oh, yeah.
And it talks about Mount Tabor. Now, people don't understand. Visualize two wine bottles, laying down face to face where the necks kind of meet on a table. And one wine bottle is like the number of people on the planet in the past, and then some catastrophe,
mm-hmm.
where they all go down and it's very few, and then it starts growing out again. When Mount Tabor went off 75,000 years ago, that left only two, this is scientific fact, and it's in the book, you can research it, 2 to 10,000 people on the entire planet. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Now today we have nearly 7 billion, going to 10 billion, not too far in the future. But, this whole planet was exterminated. Now, the caldera up in Yellowstone is kind of fascinating because the mouth of the caldera is many, many miles wide, many, many miles long.
Mm-hmm.
And a professor, I believe, from Utah was up there. He'd go up there every year, and he'd kind of stay at this lake and do some measurements. And he noticed one year that the dock was underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And the water was up around the trees, kind of up high, like the lake had shifted. They couldn't figure that out. And they came back year after year, and they finally did some studies. And 2 years ago, I don't know what the measurement is now, the shift had been 12 feet. In other words, there's a building up of magma there, 12 feet. Now, when Mount Tabor exploded, the volume that came out would be what the Mississippi River would be flowing for, let's say, I believe 2 days, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Yellowstone, and that killed nearly everybody on the planet, Yellowstone is many, many times bigger than Mount Tabor.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many times. The pyroclastic flow of itself, just the heat and the force and all that, would spread ash and everything else to 80, 90% of the United States.
And it's way overdue, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's rhythmically supposed to go off about every 600,000 years, and it's way overdue, and that's why everybody's alarmed, because, it's starting to pooch out right in the middle, because they're saying there's a huge magma, like Old Faithful, it's not faithful anymore.
Yeah.
And now, when Mount Tabor went off, and this is much smaller than the one up in Yellowstone, the depth of ash would have been halfway up the Empire State Building.
Whoa. Wow.
So, we're talking about now. Remember I talked about Murray Davies coming back on the day there was that, killer fog?
Yeah.
If you're in the zone, I don't care what it is, there won't be ash for you. So one way you can see Yellowstone never going off, and that's a way in which I can say that it can be diffused, or if it does go off, it will not affect you or anybody that within your immediate circle. Those are types of things that are going to be happening.
Let me ask you something that's that might not be in the book. What's your personal feeling about the 911 truth movement?
Well, it's in the book.
It is in the book, okay.
Oh, yeah. See, what's happened is most people have to read the book four or five times. You read the book and you've forgotten it, and this is okay because there is so much fact in the book.
Yeah, I turned at random to one of the pages, and there was just a wealth of material on the two pages.
There's so much. No, 911 was known about. NORAD, you know, was told to stand down that day. They were doing some other exercises. Mm-hmm. The whole thing. And yet, I have to really craft this in the way in which I say it, not to get into a lot of trouble.
Yes, please.
The whole thing was orchestrated, but by whom and by what?
Right.
It is not necessarily the people that you think.
Right.
But I will say this, that one West Coast mayor, as well as many very powerful people, were told not to fly that day. They had foreknowledge of it. In fact, it talks in the book how many people shorted the stock market. Now, when you short the stock market, you're betting that stocks are going to go down, and you can make a lot of money when stocks go down as well as when it goes up. It just depends whether you go short or long. And they went short, and they made billions. However, Wall Street just won't divulge those names.
Yeah.
Those people had knowledge that specific day something really bad was going to happen.
I wonder if that will ever come out.
No.
No, I doubt it.
No,
well,
money.
We still don't know about Kennedy and King and the rest of it. It was this one lone shooter, right?
That would be another program unto itself.
Exactly.
But, whether it was Raoul or whether it was somebody in the grassy knoll and so on and so forth.
Right, right.
But those things are part of the story. And when you really get into the meaning of the essence of the book, they have no value. Let me give you an example. These close encounters of the fifth kind. Now, people say, well, I'd really like to have that. And when it happened to me, it was kind of like, whoa, this is, you know. Later on, you get to understand that really means nothing. It really has no value. Now, it seems like it would, but it doesn't. Because the methodology given to you raises you, I don't want to say beyond that. These people have their own, or beings have their own spiritual things they're working on, too. They have their own path, and just because they're technologically advanced and can do many, many psychic things doesn't mean that they're all there. Now, I didn't meet everybody, okay? Just who I met and so on and so forth, that's the opinion I got. And I was not allowed to ask questions, so, you know, there are a lot of things I'd like to have asked and things I probably should have taken notes on. I didn't.
Yeah.
But it's not important.
Maybe you'll have a chance to do that in the second book. Maybe not.
Well, there's certain things that I promise to keep secret too.
Okay.
I just can't get into it. But it doesn't really have any value because let's assume that the caldera explodes, okay, and that you know some space people. Does that really help you? No, you got that pyroclastic flow going to Placerville.
Well, not unless they swoop me up in one of the ships.
Well, that's what a lot of people are hoping for.
But, we can't count on that kind of situation.
Well, there aren't that many ships.
Yeah.
To be there at that specific time and place.
Yeah.
What they have done, and it's really true, is they have kept this planet from going off many, 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 many times that it could have and should have. But now we're getting to a point of time in our spiritual awareness. It's kind of like we're getting kicked out of the nest where we have to fly on our own.
Yeah.
But you're capable of flying. Everybody listening is capable of flying. And everybody will fly, will do everything at some point. Some people are going to pick it up right now. Some people are going to pick it up later. There's no way that you won't ultimately arrive at the end point. Everybody will. Some people are just being given the opportunity to do it now, immediately, in this lifetime, and go all the way. That's what this is about.
That's what appeals to me.
Well, change zip codes, so to speak.
Yeah.
Let me give an example of down the road.
Okay.
Okay. Down the road, the electricity goes out.
Okay.
And so you try to go down to the gas pump to get gas. Of course, that's electric, so you can't get any gas. And even if you had gas, you go to the grocery store, and those front doors won't open.
Mm.
And even if they would open, you go inside, and the NCR cash register won't work.
Yeah.
And plus, the store has already been looted anyway.
Yeah.
So, okay. What this does, it gives you a methodology, and let me tell you kind of how it could work. My wife's cousin Paula came to town from Miami, and this is about 5 years ago, and my wife said, well, let's show her Phoenix. And I said, well, you know, we're going to just circle Camelback Mountain five times because that's in the middle of Phoenix. There's nothing really here to see. She said, well, let's go up to Sedona. I said, okay.
Oh.
So I filled the car with gas. We drove up to Sedona. I took a half a tank of gas. Now, Sedona is 2,500 feet. No, pardon me, 4,000 feet. But it's a very gradual thing, and up and down, but no big thing. So half a tank up, half a tank back. But coming back, I was so tired. I was just absolutely exhausted. I started doing this modality. And it said, okay, Dane, is there a God? I said, well, yeah. I'm talking to myself. Okay. I said, yeah, get off my back. There's God. Does God look like Rob Reiner? And does he have a robe? And he's kind of bald. And he's smoking a cigar on the other side of the hill. And I said, no, God is here. God is there. Okay.
Yeah.
I said, well, if God is everywhere and God is God, does God have energy just over there, or is it everywhere? And I said, well, God has energy everywhere.
Right.
And so I kept going into this, what God is, and God is energy, energy, energy. And nothing happens seemingly instantly, and it can, but it didn't here. I would say 20, 28 minutes passed, and I started getting energy and more energy, and I was going to gas up about two-thirds of the way back because I didn't want to go down into Phoenix on no gas at all.
Mm.
And I got into, I was so wired. I had so much energy. I was just like, oh, my, you know, I drove all the way into Phoenix. And I went, oh, I'm going to be out of gas and just, you know, get a gas can and walk along the freeway until I come to a station, you know, that type of thing. I looked down. I have two witnesses in the car. And we used zero gas coming all the way back.
Wow.
Now, if you go back in Jewish history, the menorah, you know, has eight candles. And upon a major battle, they were going to celebrate. And they said, well, we'll celebrate until the oil runs out. You know, we have enough oil for one day. And they kept partying and having a good time, and the oil kept going. So they partied number 2 day. And oil kept going, so they partied the third day, and the fourth, and the fifth, and sixth. 8 days before the oil ran out. Well, okay, the oil materialized just the same as the gas materialized in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was treating or realizing energy, and energy form was not only internal, but it's gas as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, like this person I told you about up in Sedona, when he poured the water out of his canteen all day long and still had a half a canteen of water, when he first moved up there, he built buildings and everything else and had a big center. But he was living in a trailer house, and he had this caretaker. And the person was rather sweet, but not really, you know, paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And her only job, her only function, was really to take care of the reservoir in his trailer house. You know, he just kind of let her stay up there and to make sure he had water. And, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 weeks later, she went, I never looked at the reservoir. It dawned on her finally. And so she went running over to the trailer house, and the trailer house, you know, reservoir was full of water.
Wow.
You know, you materialize things. You cannot run out of good. Because let me give an example. The ancient formula, mathematical formula of 2 plus 2 equals 4 was good 2,000 years ago, a billion years ago, and it'll be go to a billion years in the future. Everybody on the planet can go 2 plus 2 and we won't run out of 4s. Everybody can use this principle and manifest or have manifesting through them, and there's no end of good supply. And so the manifestation is always there, and it will always be there. And so this is saying there's an unlimited supply of good. All you have to do is tap into it, and this is the way in which to do it. Now, will it happen instantly? Practice a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it will ultimately come. And even if it doesn't seem like it's coming, let's say you're practicing, and nothing happens, and you're going down, and all of a sudden you see you're in the wrong lane, and you're about ready to hit by a truck, and all of a sudden you're on the other side of the truck. I had a friend of mine who was in Virginia, and he was going down the road, and he was just going pell-mell, and there was a tractor trailer that came straight across and stopped right in front of him. There was no way he could escape it. I mean, he was just going to be smashed.
Mm-hmm.
He folded his arms across his chest, kind of like, this is it. But he got into the understanding, and he did it in a twinkling of an eye. And whoosh, he slid, car and everything, through that tractor trailer and came out the other side.
Wow.
Which leads me to, I want to tell you another story.
Sure.
Many people think, okay, let's talk about walking through walls. How do you walk through a wall? Well, a wall is nothing more than cement or wood or paint or whatever. It's molecules.
Right.
And you know, and this is the lower method of manipulation. If you change your atomic vibration, you can sit there and really meditate on that wall and attune to that wall and get your vibration the same as the vibration of that wall, and you can slide right through it. That's one way.
Okay.
That's a lower way. It works. The higher way is to realize that there's only God. And if there's only God, there is no wall. It may look like a wall. It may seem like a wall.
Mm-hmm.
But in truth, if there's only God, a wall doesn't exist. And once you get into that realization, I probably shouldn't have used the word zone earlier, but if you get into that realization, the wall will not be. It may be for other people, but for you, it won't be. You can go, come, whatever you want to do. So there are two different ways. One is what is called a manipulation of matter, and what is called realization or understanding. And this deals in a higher PhD level, if you want to say you're graduating to that stage.
Huh. That sounds like the part in the Matrix series where the little boy is bending the spoon and he's trying to teach Neo how to do it. And I think the boy says something like, "You have to realize there is no spoon."
I can't quite hear you, Lance. The little boy, what?
The little kid says, "You have to realize there is no spoon."
Right.
It's everything else around it.
That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. So.
But it's more or less not denying the truth. You know, let me give you an example. A woman was in the shower, and she slipped on some soap, and she started to fall, and she broke her fall with that the ceramic soap dish on the side, but. Her fall, her weight broke the soap dish until it was a jagged edge, and her arm went down it, and it slid it open to the bone.
Ooh.
Now, she's there naked in the shower. She's squirting blood. She cannot get out and get dressed. She won't even make it to the front door before she'd pass out from lack of blood.
Hmm.
And so she said, well, if God is everywhere and God is perfect and I am that concept, and she got into that zone, and pain and fear tend to get you there really fast,
yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
She really started realizing that God can't get cut. There's only perfection. And so when that happened, she just started her shower. And she finished her shower, and she turned off the water, and she looked around, and she said, well, there's blood on the wall. What happened? And she got so out of it, she forgot that there was blood on the wall. And then she remembered. But she looked down, and there was no cut.
Wow.
And she was perfect. The same with a woman. A guy stole her purse. We've all had things that we've lost or been stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And she went back to her apartment, and she just cashed her rent check. It was all of her money. She just was totally broke, and she started realizing, well, how can God lose something? If God is perfect, then there can only be, you know, perfection. And so she started realizing this, and she heard this knock, knock, knock at the door. And she goes to the door, and there's this guy there. He goes, "Lady, did you lose something?" She goes, "No." But she got so into the understanding that nothing could be lost in God, and she came so into that, like I told you earlier, you understand your Lance White, so you don't even ask the question. She said, "I don't lose anything," and she closed the door. About 30 minutes later, pound, 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 he's pounding on the door, and he goes, "Lady, did you lose something?" She goes, "No." And she's vacuuming the floor, and about 10 minutes later, he pounds on the door, and he goes, "Lady, I'm the one that stole this from you," and he returned it back to her. The same, I told you, but I'll do it for the audience. And all these things have been, this was witnessed by several people. A gentleman that had no arm. He had one arm, but not another. And he went to a person who does practicing of this that helps in realization. Because when two or more gather and, you know, the name, you tend to see things a little more clearly sometimes. Mm. Although you're supposed to be able to do it on your own. And they tried to, he said, "Well, seeing is perfect. I mean, God can't lose an arm. How can I lose an arm?" And it sure looked like he lost an arm, but they tried to see him as perfect. But the picture of that not being an arm was too strong. So about a month later, he went to somebody else, and that didn't work. He went to somebody else. And finally, he went into a third or fourth person, but he wore a cape. And the guy says, what do you want me to work on? He said, "Well, see me as perfect." And he said, "Okay." And so they worked on it. He came back after several weeks. And finally, the guy came in, and he had two arms, which is normal. But it wasn't that the arm grew. But the lie of lack dropped away, and the truth set him free.
Mm-hmm.
The truth, what he was free, the truth, what he already had an arm. Nothing can be lost.
Mm.
So that's how it works. I know it's rather obscure. You have to get in, pray on it, meditate, so on and so forth, but it will come about.
Well, it makes sense in many levels.
Well, once you read the book, it leads you step by step. And then I recommend you read it again and again and again because, for instance, you had forgotten about the 9/11, which is totally normal because there's so much fact in the book about all sorts of things.
Oh, yeah.
Like, have you ever done a program on radionics?
No, I haven't.
Do you know about it?
Not a lot.
Okay. Here is a stage for those who can't get this far along, but I want to explain it to you just briefly.
Mm-hmm.
Radionics is a device which was made, and you supposedly have to plug it in the wall, but it works perfectly if you don't plug it in. That's just kind of an effect. You don't have to plug it into electricity. And it's where you put in a prayer, and you can use it for diagnosing. You can do it for prayer. What you do is you put in a person's picture or a fingernail or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and then you can turn the dials, and you can find out where the vibration is and where that person's out of harmony or disease or not at ease. And then you put in the vibration that's proper, and the person doesn't even need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
They can be on the other side of the world and mm-hmm. feel the effect. I had somebody doing some radionics for fun on me, and then I went down to Florida on a business trip. And all of a sudden, my body went way out of whack. I called my wife, and I said, my gosh, I said, sweetie, what's wrong? She said, nothing. And I said, well, you know, is Bob fooling with the dials? And so I called Bob, and he said, yeah, I'm trying different programs, experimenting. And I said, stop it. About killed me. if you put in a person's picture who is demonically possessed, and, you know, you turn it to the anti-possession thing, that picture will start to vibrate just by itself. It's like the Aborigines, and it talks about this in the book. You know, there's a way in which the Aborigines will take a bone and they will blow into it toward a person. It could be a couple hundred miles away
mm-hmm.
to kill that person. And sure enough, within a week or so, that person will die.
Speaking of demonic stuff, tell us about the followers of Baal.
Well, in the book, it talks about, and you know, you go into the Old Testament about the golden calf, the followers of Baal, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very ancient Luciferian-type society.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has many, many names, and that's just one of them. In fact, many of the people in power are followers of Baal at this point in time. But they use different names for it. But
Illuminati, Luciferian.
This whole, pardon?
The Illuminati.
Yeah, the Illuminati, and it gets very, very complex. You know, you can go to Alex Jones's website if you really want to get into it to that degree. And Alex is pretty close in a lot of things.
Yeah.
And yet, if you get into this zone, they can't do anything against you. Let me give an example. I was told about this person who had been in the MI, military intelligence, for 25 years. He said, my gosh, he said, watch your back. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, certain things have happened. And he sent me a notarized letter, and he said, this, this, and this have happened. It's like the horse's head and the Godfather.
Yeah.
he said, they're warning you, don't come out with this book. And I said, and the horse they rode in on, I'm terribly sorry, I'm coming out with a book. It's divinely inspired, and it's going to happen.
Mm.
And they said, well, they're firing a shot across your bow to see how serious you are. And all sorts of things have happened, which I can't get into.
Yeah.
But there are levels upon levels upon levels. And the irony is, a lot of the levels don't know the other levels exist.
Yeah.
I mean, you know very well that there are space beings and crafts and all that.
Yeah.
But not everybody in our government does. They're so insulated.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, not everybody knows about HAARP. And there have been articles about HAARP and so on and so forth about what it does. And nobody really knows that there are HAARP complexes in other countries.
Yep.
You know, all doing weather wars with us and all trying to manipulate the crop. It used to be, you know, you'd drop a bomb on somebody. Now you just make their wheat crop go bad and starve them out.
Yeah, really.
And so we have all these different subcultural wars going on around the globe.
Yep.
So,
and none of it's really good for the planet or for the people living on it.
I'm sorry?
I said none of it's really good or beneficial for the planet or the people that live on the planet.
Well, you know, that in one level is true, but all things are good if you can change your focus. everything that happens to you, everything that seems to be bad, I don't care if it's your underwear riding up, and I'm sorry for such a terrible graphic example, you know, very de la class.
You must be psychic.
Or if you're having financial problems, or if somebody's been diagnosed with a terminal illness, or your boss is mad at you, or whatever. Each of these things are nothing more, although they seem very serious, than a spiritual lesson coming to you for you to awaken to it. And once you awaken to it, it dissolves, and it will never happen again.
Right, right.
So once you rise above it. But what happens is we tend to ignore them, and they get worse.
Right.
And they get worse. Let me give you an example. If I don't pay, if I get this little mental tick about paying the electric bill, and I go, then what was that?
I think we're being warned that we're at the end of our, we're at the end of the interview. We're coming close to it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure.
Well, I've enjoyed it very much. Thank you for having me on, by the way.
Huh?
Thank you for having me on, but thank you for the honor of being able to take this concept to the people that really can change the destiny of the planet. This is very important.
Oh, absolutely, and that's what this show is about. And, you know, I thank you for having the courage to write the book, for one thing, and for, you know, sharing your views and helping people to understand it and to awaken people's minds and to be so generous with your time. Because I know that you're going to have fame and fortune from this book. I mean, with the movies and the rest of it, but, you know, you're a very down-to-earth person, and you're really doing a terrific job, and I just salute you for that.
Well, if it weren't, I'm not going to be talking to everybody and anybody about this, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking to very special pockets of individuals, and
mm-hmm.
it's the people like you, the coast-to-coast people, the people that listen to your show.
Mm-hmm.
You are the people that are going to save the planet, and if the planet still tends to go on, you're going to be able to take these and make your lives and the lives of a lot of other people so much better.
Mm, I hope so.
Well, you can.
Yes. Well, I do believe that, or I wouldn't be doing this. Well, Dane, I thank you very much, and I look forward to having our second, our part two.
Be happy to do it.
And so I'll be in touch with you and keep you keep me posted on what you're doing, and let's make sure that people know to call 877-ITS-MAYA if they want to order the book tonight, or www.itsmaya.com.
And the first 100 will get a $5 rebate.
Yes.
And an autographed copy.
Yes. Yes, by all means. Dane, thanks a million.
Anytime. Thank
all
you,
right.
Lance.
We'll talk soon.
All right.
All right, good night.
Bye-bye.